Thank you all for hanging around for this last presentation of the session. I'm not going to share a lot of data in the presentation. Not a lot of graphs, tables, a lot more pictures and images, so hopefully that's a little easier to watch for you. But this is about a project that I started in central Minnesota about 5 years ago. And maybe for a point of clarification, I work for a regulatory agency in Minnesota, Department of Ag. We do several different things, and one of those things we're responsible for is protecting groundwater in Minnesota from ag chemicals. And this project is an example of a way that we're attempting to do this, working together with growers. The project was funded by Clean Water Land and Legacy Amendment, Clean Water Funds, and that's something in Minnesota, 3/8% sales tax that we passed some years back, and without it, this type of work certainly wouldn't have been possible for us, so I just want to make mention of that. And our local partner as well is a soil and water district in Minnesota. That's a critical part to the project. So an overview, I want to give you a sense for why we're doing this project in this part of Minnesota, why it fit the resource concerns that exist. Two different components of the project, one being our irrigation outreach side of things, and the other is our on-farm nitrogen management program, and then get you just a glimpse on whether or not we think we've accomplished anything. First, just a glance, for those maybe not familiar, we're about here. This is obviously Minnesota in the U.S., and we're in this neighborhood of the state, and there'll be a lot more maps that blow up a little bit closer. We have sensitive groundwater in central Minnesota, and this is a map that was produced by the Pollution Control Agency in Minnesota. Legend's not important, just that these red areas indicate the most vulnerable groundwater in Minnesota, and this has a lot to do with our most recent period of glaciation and the Wadena lobe that left behind outwash as that lobe of glacier receded. And so predominantly we're talking about very sandy soils in central Minnesota. And shallow depths to groundwater with very few limiting layers that impede the flow of what goes on the land surface entering groundwater. As far as what we know about groundwater in Minnesota and nitrogen levels, we have some concerns. And this is a bit dated, the information. It's from 2011, but it's a larger snapshot of what nitrogen levels exist. These red dots are above 10 parts per million, the drinking water standard for nitrogen. It doesn't paint an extremely bleak picture, if you will, that just 3% of those samples were over the 10 parts per million, but it does indicate that there's certainly reason for concern. And then there's a lot of agricultural land use in Minnesota, in this part of the Minnesota landscape, and it's not without surprise when we're able to factor irrigation in with well-drained soils, we have very productive land. Can grow crops economically very well. But for the reasons I've just explained, we've got some characteristics in the landscape providing challenges, and the project seeks to meet some of those challenges. One of the additional challenges, if you will, is irrigation expansion. And this is a graph that just indicates the applications in Minnesota for irrigation permits. And you can see just an exponential increase in the past 5 to 6 years. It's plateaued some since 2014, but it is a bit higher there as well. Not every permit that's applied for is granted, but this is indicative of additional pressure. And irrigation in and of itself doesn't present a concern from my perspective for nitrogen and groundwater, but it is the cropping system that comes along with irrigation. You find there's a lot more intensive crop production underway in irrigation systems, and then specialty crops require higher amounts of nitrogen and higher risk for loss of that nitrogen in the groundwater. In addition to this expansion that's gone on, there's been concentration, and these green dots are major crop irrigation, right? And just looking at central Minnesota, recalling the previous map where our vulnerable groundwater supplies are, we're talking about more intensification of our cropping systems in these irrigated areas as a concentration occurs. So when we put all of this together, we've certainly got circumstances that suggest we need to do something more. We've got concern for groundwater, sensitive groundwater, indication that there's elevated levels. We know agriculture is a big footprint in the landscape. So This project settled in on a 5-county boundary in north central Minnesota to try to work on these concerns. We split things out into two different areas, the first being really focused around irrigation, that expansion underway, and providing outreach for those producers entering the irrigated world, and those that have been doing it a long time but might need to start looking at it differently. This was also a period of time in Minnesota where we didn't have a lot of outreach. We were missing an irrigation specialist from our extension program at the university. That since has been filled, but we were attempting initially really to fill that gap. And the second component is a nitrogen part of it, and providing some additional tools for growers to look at their nitrogen management on their own farm in their own backyard. On the outreach part of things, we really did this in large part through workshops. And we put together a curriculum early on, and the curriculum is available for use. And the workshops, I've listened to other presentations at the SA meetings that they really found similar things. We found you need to focus on hands-on opportunities. So we made sure to have soil samples representative of the region in these workshops and gave producers in these winter meetings a chance to look at soil moisture and spend some time going through that assessment process, just some soil assessment process, bringing along soil moisture probes, sensiometers, even lysimeters, and we talk about groundwater and soil nitrate concentrations and show them how it works. This groundwater model is something that we'd use for, children's water festivals and that used previously. And kids love it. It's great. It's a lot of fun. But turns out producers in their mid-50s love it too. And it was really really powerful how much attention they paid to it. And when we talked about it in terms of nitrogen application and timing and, let's pretend that a crop was growing here and realize we're going to lose 30% and then just throw some dye in there. It was really cool to watch them hover around the model. And that was something I didn't expect to be as popular as it was. So the workshops that another thing we learned, we held one initially in 2011 just to test it out, see how this concept worked for us, and it worked well. So we blanketed it in a 5-county area, just these 5 counties. We held 3 in 2012 and 3 in 2013, and we tried to keep it fresh, to change the curriculum, but that second year it was pretty obvious growers had seen. Most had seen what we were doing, and that they came a second time, and it wasn't new enough to bring them again. So in 2013, we decided to go next year just to one. And in these 2 years, and we'll do the same thing again this winter, we put together a little bit better program, we think. We brought speakers from outside of state, and topical experts, and we're still being able to maintain attendance around 75 producers or industry individuals at the workshop. So we think that's still been a successful transition for us. The topics covered are these: scheduling ET sources, soil moisture assessment, and of course nitrogen management being the focus and trying to mitigate losses of nitrogen to groundwater. A thing that came out of this in a lot of discussions early on in the project was the need for some local evapotranspiration information. There's a lot of sources for ET information that are available and that work very well, but for producers to buy into them, they were much more confident in local weather stations, something that they can see periodically, that you can put a dot on a map approximately, and they can say, okay, I know where that is exactly, so the information feeding our ET estimates come from the local data, and that meant a lot. So in this project, we've deployed 8 of these stations in central Minnesota, and additionally, now we're up to 11 through a couple other projects in this part of the state. And eggweathernetwork.com is one of those, is a website to access the data for that. So this is a glimpse at whether or not our workshops were successful, or we think they were. This is a survey information that we go through with each of the participants that make it to the workshops, and we've done them for each year. But I'm just going to share with you the 2014 results. They're very reflective of what we see each year from those surveys. We had over 17,000 acres managed by the program participants, and I can tell you that this is a lot of little growers and about 2 or 3 really big growers in the demographics of the participants in these workshops. But in total, it adds up to approximately that many acres, and that's a substantial amount. participants at these workshops. We were able to get the majority of these being irrigators or industry immediately engaged with irrigation and management decisions. We did this through mailings and phone calls. We followed up with phone calls, spent a lot of time on the phone, and if you want to get 75 people there, make 50 phone calls and you'll get that many. And that we found most effective. We did the follow-up postcards and that kind of helped. But phone calls also give us an idea of who's going to show up, so we make sure we have enough meals and so on all there. So getting the right audience that we want there, we found phone calling was by far the most successful. Out of those 90% that were present, we asked about that weather station network that I showed a couple slides previous, that whether or not they were utilizing it. Early on, there were indications of a need for it, and we were really pleased that this high a percentage said that they're going to be able to use it, or that they do already use it. So that was assuring for us as far as progress or positive outcomes from the project. We also asked about those two components. The agenda covers a lot of irrigation management as well as nitrogen management, and we wanted to get a sense from them whether the agenda provided in detail to help them more efficiently use irrigation water and nitrogen, and here we've got also high percentages of those that were responding. So overall, we find it's been pretty successful. That's the irrigation component to our project. So I kind of explained the resource concerns we have in central Minnesota. And I talked about two different components, irrigation being one, and the second one is our on-farm nitrogen management program. And so the next sequence of slides touches on this, and it's not a totally new concept. It's something that we've adapted from that the Iowa Soybean Association initially put together. It's based around the corn stalk nitrate test. The concept is just like any business plan: you plan, implement, evaluate, and adjust. The difference being looking in an evaluation phase, can we add a little additional information so that they can improve their nitrogen management use. 3 minutes? I got this. Okay. So what's exactly involved? Throughout the season, June through February, it's data collection, and at the very end, it's a winter meeting. And that's where really the magic happens. The imagery is another huge component. It's the same old saying, it's an image worth a thousand words, and you can find out so much more on an image than just nitrogen management concerns. And when we're looking at it from a programmatic perspective, engaging growers in the discussion about nitrogen, these pictures were really useful in season in their own field. We fly them in August because corn stalk nitrate test is the focus. The spatial extent that we've covered, these are the fields that we had in 2015. Overall, we've grown some. It was from the first year to the second year, we've doubled the number of growers involved and have held that number pretty steady. And we're up to about 52 fields this year. And throughout the entire time of the project, you get a sense for the spatial area that's covered for this project. Nitrogen management, okay, this is again survey results from our winter meetings. And the producer, 79%, said they could make nitrogen management changes on the program. And the next question was, what kind of changes? The 4 R's, product placement, time, and rate. If you'd asked me before I took the survey, what's it going to be? I would go, well, maybe the plant timing and product. I didn't expect rate to be the one that they're most apt to change based on this program, and it was the case. So 60%, and that was true every year of this survey. With this information, they were playing with their rate. In 2014, this is the breakdown, whether they were increasing or decreasing it. So some increasing, it's about half and half. But doing it with information is a benefit, is, I think, positive. You're doing it based on data. Over the entire project's life, 90% of them were reducing their nitrogen rate, and that was many of the growers this year had been there for the previous 2 to 3 years. So in summary, we think that this project and the components to it really fit the area of resource concerns, and we talked about the geology, cropping systems, the change in the irrigation that are going on. So that's really important to its success. Strong financial support. We're able to provide this at producers for no cost, one field. If they wanted an additional field, there was cost, and we had some of that. But the support was a big part of it. building partnerships. I think to date, after 5 years of more partnerships with dealerships, with producers in this area than I would have ever had without it. And that sets us up really well for the future for our particular work and dealing with nitrogen use and groundwater concerns. And building it around meaningful tools and information is the bottom line. So I'm pretty sure I'm out of time, but if I do have time for questions, I'd love to answer them.
End of the session, so if you do have questions, you can ask them.
Perfect.
And others can leave and do whatever.
Very good. Yes, go ahead.
So, was that being pumped out of aquifer primarily?
Yes. It's rare. There are occasions of surface water being used for irrigation, but Minnesota's gone away from that entirely, really, with strictly surface groundwater.
And then was it much injection? UAN into the irrigation system?
Irrigation is definitely, and we really consider that a best management practice in a lot of ways, being able to side dress nitrogen as the crop needs it throughout the growing season. And that's something I promote in this process. Not every system in place is set up for it, but many are.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Dave?
You have a lot of interest in precision irrigation.
When I made that comment that there's a couple of growers that represented the largest percentage of those acres, those two rows in particular are playing with it. Some variable rate irrigation technology. Obviously it's really expensive, but we're fortunate to have a relationship with these growers that they're willing to share their experience and I don't want to say sell the product exactly, but introduce it to their peers. And the winter meeting, in fact, this winter, we'll be able to we're going to spend some time with one of the growers' field and his consultant and give them 30 minutes on our agenda to talk to the growers about it. So it's very limited, but I think there's more and more discussion of it and interest. If they can meet the economics and make it flat.
How are they sensing this moisture? To install the moisture probes or?
For the variable rate irrigation?
Yeah.
Well, there's multiple techniques that are being applied, and some of it is just history of the field, some electrical conductivity mapping of the field to sort of assign more detail and texture and say, well, we're going to tend to need more here versus there. Factoring in yield response they've seen in previous years. And one grower has taken, you can use variable rate like just by pi shape across, you know, speed up and slow down a circular irrigation pivot.
Right, right.
And one grower is just assigning basically zones. And throughout the year, he'll monitor those, in that case, six zones by himself, just with this hand method of soil moisture. It's what he's confident about. That's what he wants. And he's done for years and still uses it. So it varies.
I just wondered if any were using remote sensing.
No, we don't have any example of anybody using remote sensing in production. Not in this area. So. Great. Thank you very much.